Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dinamo Abroad podcast, where we talk about anything and everything Dinamo Kiev related. I'm your host, Alex Lishik, and with us from across the pond is Dima. How's it going, Dima?
It's tough to say. In terms of for Dinamo, it's not going so well. Personally, I can't complain too much. I feel like this is going to be a good podcast for the neutral.
And from the great state of New York is Eric. How's it going, Eric?
Yeah, personally going great. Dinamo side of things, I guess people will find out as we start recording. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Do we want to start with the good or the bad news first? Let's start with the... Well, I don't want to say it's bad news, but it's not great news, is it? Depend, I got a new contract. Unless you guys
want to... It is bad news.
Yeah.
Why?
It is bad news.
Why?
So some stats about Dipiana, and this is just in the Ukrainian Premier League. Obviously, we know he's done absolutely nothing in the Champions League. So this season in the Ukrainian Premier League, right, he has been in the squad. Well, he's been in the starting 11, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 9 matches. The other two, he was on the bench, was an unused sub. Majority of the matches that he played the majority of those matches, so close to like 70-ish minutes or so. So against Kolos, 2 goals and 2 assists. So that was, you know, a big game for him. As you both will remember, that ended 7-0. Impressive performance from Dinamo. Besides that, he has 1 assist against Metalist, has had 0 goal contributions in any other matches in the Ukrainian Premier League. So that's not just Champions League, but the Ukrainian Premier League. Obviously, we also know we signed Antioch, who has made has been in the squad twice, I believe, and has made 1 appearance. What has Dipiana done to earn himself a new contract besides nothing?
I would love to know who offered him that contract. I'm lost for words, honestly.
I mean, seems like a nice guy. I don't mean to be like have like an agenda against him or anything like that. But if we're talking about productivity and efficiency on the pitch, I mean, I don't know. Stats don't lie. And I mean, it's not like he's, you know, someone like Yaromolenko used to be, where he's taking control of the game, influencing, drawing defenders over to create space for his teammates and things like that. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of at a loss.
I just think, you know, it's not great, is it? I mean, we talked about this last night after the Bayern game. I think probably everyone except for what, maybe 5 or 6 players are probably should not be in the squad after yesterday, you could argue.
At most
5 or 6. I'm thinking Nesheret, Zabarni, Sirota, Popov, Shaprenko, Bujalski, and I'll give Lenev and Vitinho half a pass because they never have actually gotten a proper chance.
I agree. I mean, how can you argue with that? I mean, the rest of them, what good is it? I mean, about Dipiana, he's such a limited player. It's so limited. He's good for spamming crosses against UPL, like lower half UPL sides. Against the big teams, well, sorry, but where is he? You know, it's he's there, but is he there? Like, is he doing anything? That's my question.
The problem is I feel like he's one of these guys who make, because he runs around a lot. So he seems very busy all the time. So people could say, oh, he seems like he's doing something, but like he's actually doing nothing. On to the next bit of news. Trabzonspor are interested in Mykolenko. If it's a good offer, I'll take it. I think it's,
I guess the issue then for me is those who do we replace him with?
I mean, I'm assuming you'd sell.
There must be a good left back somewhere.
I'm sure that there are.
The question is do we actually get a good left back bring him in?
We're just going to buy a left footed Tomáš Kendrora. That's what we're going to do personally.
I would have zero problem if you sell Mikulenko over the winter and just bring back Sitkle and Lubinchak on loan for the spring and then bring in another left back to replace Sitkle. Because I think personally Lubinchak was really hard done by because I thought he was much better than Mikulenko preseason and for me was a starter going into the season. But I would say, assuming that deal would probably happen in January, I would just bring back Lubinchak. That's probably the only thing you can really do at this point.
Probably shouldn't have let Seed. I mean, I didn't think we should have let Seed Clay go when we did.
You have three left backs. Why would you let two go out on loan?
It's not like they were so clearly far behind Mikulenko in quality.
No, they're not. It's definitely not.
It's just strange decisions. And like I said, it's like, I want to know who's making these decisions because like, is it a lot on Surkis? Is it a lot on Luchescu? Is it a combination of the two of them? Is it all on one player? It's one more Luchescu, on another is it mostly Surkis? Cause, I don't know about you guys, but whoever's making decisions, I have lost complete faith in their judgment of players and player ability.
I have no faith in their. Don't even know when the last time I had the faith in the management to actually do something useful.
Now let's move on to some good news, or actually I don't know if it's good news, but some kind of better news. Luchescu offered a contract through 2024. I mean, the way he's going, he'll be lucky to see 2022 if he continues with some of the team selections he's had. I mean,
real talk, how old is he going to be in 2024? Like, I'm not being funny or rude or anything.
80.
How old is
he? He'll be 80. I believe he'll be. Oh, let me double check, actually. I think he's going to be 80.
Oh, God, 80. Has there ever been an 80-year-old coach before?
No, but why not? Dinamo be the first team to have one.
True.
I'm actually going for my coaching qualifications right now, so I might actually.
The first 180 years.
He'll be 79 at the end of the 2023-2024 season.
Jesus.
Yeah. So you can make of that what you will. What else do we have? Let's actually do something positive. The U19s have been absolutely fucking class in the UEFA Youth League, haven't they? Absolutely smashed Benfica 4-0. Okay, they barely beat Uruguay 2-1, and they absolutely hammered Bayern Munich 4-0. This is actually a good place to start off the discussion, both on the Ruch and Bayern games. Team selection and player performances have been kind of shaky, to say the least. So is it fair to say that some of the U19s should be getting a chance more than some of the first teamers?
Absolutely. I mean, there's okay, I'm not talking about, you know, just dump the whole lot of the starters and just put down the 19th. I mean, I think that's a bit soon. But can they really be any worse than those absolute useless, completely useless players we have on the bench? Can they really be any worse? Because I'd 100% take Brzko over Andrievski against, you know, some of the weaker sides. I'd 100% take Diallo or Voloshin over Depen. 100%. Those guys are balling out in the in the youth league, in the Ukrainian under-19 league. But why not give them a chance? You know, Tarenko, you know, having in good form. You know, so many Jacek. What's his name? I believe Vivcherenko is still in that under-19
squad. Yeah. Anton Ball.
Why not? Seriously, why not?
I mean,
are these first team players playing so well that they're just, you know, blocking the park? I don't think they are.
I mean, Eric, you have anything to add on top of this? Because I mean, like, we've seen how many times, I feel like I have not seen one game this year where the starting wingers were not Dependa and Sigankov. And outside of the barely, what, handful of chances or goals and assists Dependa has besides the call-offs game and about How many penalties has Tagliafico scored this year? It has to be at least five.
Four or five. I think it's four.
He's
or
got,
five.
Okay, yeah, I actually looked this up. So he has four.
Yeah.
So he has, in nine appearances in the UPL, seven goals and one assist. Four of those seven goals have been penalties, and only one of those was one that he won. Bujalski won one, and the other two were Garmash.
Jesus. I mean, listen, it's great that we know we have a good penalty taker in Tagliafico, but I mean, listen, we're not going to be getting three penalties against Bayern Munich, are we?
No.
So,
absolutely.
You know, how much of this is going to start to – listen, we know the management of the club is not the best, but how much of this is going to start to boil down to the manager because he's the one who keeps picking these players?
I mean, he's definitely starting to – I mean, obviously the manager always has some of the responsibility, but I think that responsibility as well as that criticism is definitely increasing on Lucescu with these team selections that just, like I said, are a little bit baffling when you take a look at player performances. You know, Tsahankov is a prime example. You know, Mikolenko, I think, is another one, obviously, but at the same time, we don't really have someone else that can slot in behind him. He's – kind of like the only left back that's we're able to field at this point. But like Tsahankov, I don't understand this divine right of his to start. I mean, I really don't. He's been poor, like we've talked about a million times this entire calendar year. And I've seen stuff about people calling him our hottest prospect, one of our hottest prospects, which I don't know what planet they live on or what air they're breathing. But
what's he done to warrant that then?
His FIFA potential, I guess.
It's actually not
the scoring penalties against UPL relegation. Yeah, size. Then he's the best.
I mean, clearly haven't watched the Ukrainian Premier League. You know, talking about some of these players needing to go for the betterment of their careers. If you can't do a job in the Ukrainian Premier League, where the hell is your career going to take you for the betterment of your career? Like, are you joking? Like, who, what interest is there? I mean, okay, the Supriaha deal, I get that. That was handled poorly. He should have been allowed to leave. However,
you could argue he shouldn't even been bought.
Yeah, that's fair. But like Mikolenko and Tsahankov, like there's been talks of people interested in them, but I'm not aware of any concrete offer that's come through, especially not recently. And with all due respect, like I said, you know, I'm not even going to take a look at the Bayern match. I'm going to take a look at the Ukrainian Premier League, right? And people talk about complacency and things like that. You know, I'm sorry, but you're a professional. You've got a job to do. Right. And I understand you're not going to be on every match. That's fair. But when you're putting in these performances against teams like Oleksandria and Metalist, I mean, where do you think that their career is going to go, that they're going to be able to suddenly slot in and start making an impact in Germany or somewhere like that? You know what I mean? Like, what is the betterment of their careers? Like, and if they have gotten complacent and they're not playing well right now, that's on them. That's not on the club. You know, that's on you, the player, because you have a job to your club, to your team, to go out there, give your all and perform every match, right? So that has nothing to do with the club. That's not the club's fault. I understand that being held on to longer than necessary. I get that. I'm not saying Dinamo has never done that or that Surikis isn't a bit of a moron when it comes to transfer negotiations, but like, come on. You know what I mean?
But Eric, I want to cut you off here because if you want to move so bad, prove it week in, week out, why you should have teams lining up at Surikis's door ready to snatch you up.
Well, exactly. And like I said, if you can't do that against Metalist 1925 and Oleksandria, I mean, it shows what happens too when they play. I mean, imagine them going to Germany and, you know, coming up again. I'm not saying they're going to be playing Bayern every week, obviously, but imagine them playing some of these top of the half table squads. And I mean, really, you think they're going to make an impact and they're going to be effective against them when they can't even do it against bottom of the table UPL sides? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Here. But anyways, I agree with Dima. I think I'm not saying that we need to do a full scale, you know, overhaul.
I think that.
But we definitely should be seeing a lot more rotation. And I would like to see some of these youth players be getting more opportunities and some of our current starters on the bench.
Need a full scale overhaul. I mean, performances like that. I mean, who's...
What I mean by that is all at once.
Yeah, no, I'm getting the entire 11. Dump all the, yeah, you're not going to, you know, dump in the whole, you know, under 19s and 11. Okay, but in an ideal world,
Oh, can I just butt in
for 3-4 four players from our starting lineup max actually start for us at most, and 3-4 is being generous.
Oh, can I just butt in real quick? So guess what Zagadkov's potential is in FIFA now that we brought it up?
Go on.
86. Guess what his...
I just guessed 86. That because that's literally what it is like every year. Is
guess what his value is, according to FIFA, obviously. 33.5
That's he's barely worth half of that.
And guess what his release clause is at?
What?
80.4.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get 80.4 for Zagadkov, sure.
And you know, this is my issue, right? Like, imagine Bayern playing bottom of the league sides with their first 11 and playing like that. Do you think they're really gonna be putting out that for a couple games, or do you think they're really going to put out that same team?
No, because they're a well-run club.
No, they're going to look for solutions. They're going to change formation, change system, try different players. They're going to try what it gets to. Not what it gets to. I don't even know what kind of sentence that is. They're going to try different formations to find that balance that, you know, is a successful balance until, you know, whenever they need to change it next or for suspension, injury, whatever. And that's where I'm going to kind of have another dig at Lucescu, because when was the last time you say, you know what, Dinamo played really well against a really good side today, we deserve to get this convincing win?
I mean, I would say Kolo, but that's not really a very good side, is it?
I would say probably Alkmaar or Ghent.
Brugge? Because, I mean, look, they've been playing.
Give you Brugge. But so what we're talking, maybe 3 or 4 wins in a
year. Yeah, no, I do get you. I mean, come on. Like, I'm like not saying, I don't care about winning. Okay. Well, no, sorry. That's maybe I phrased that a bit wrong. Of course, I care about winning. I care about nothing but winning. But I don't, if we lose to a side that, you know, with a significantly bigger budget than us, I'm not happy about it. But there's, I can't, you know, there's a reason for that, because they've got the better team. But my problem is the performance, it's the manner in which we lose. No fight, no passion. No one looks like they're going to give it a go. No one looks like they believe they can do it. You know, it's all just like, oh, well, they're a better side than us. So, yeah, well, if we'll just let you win. That's, you know, you're better than us. So, yeah, come on then.
Yeah, like imagine, right? Imagine this. What Shovkovsky, Luzhny's, Gusev's, or even like Lobanovsky's reaction would be after Sidorchuk's handball yesterday.
Oh, gee, what a... This guy's been, I've got to say, he's been a liability this season. Really, he has.
He's almost like he was 2 or 3 years ago, pre-Lucescu.
Yeah. I think it's time to start looking for a replacement.
He's not going to get any younger.
I'm not saying I want to see him shipped out of the club, but I think it's time to, you know, start looking for an alternative for starting 11, because he's not good enough for the Champions League.
Listen, it's time to move on from a lot of these players. And listen, he's not going to get any younger, is he? He's what? No, 30, he's going to be 31 already?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time to move on. I mean, listen, it's like I feel like sometimes you're better off getting rid of a player a year early than a year late. Because at least, you know.
Yeah, I get you.
Because, you know, if you get off a year early, okay, well, listen, hindsight's 2020, you didn't know what that player's going to be. But if you get off a year late, then, you know, it's I don't even know where to go from here. I mean, Dinamo have Shakhtar on Sunday. I mean...
Oh, well, nice, easy game.
Yeah, I mean, the only kind of... I don't want to say it's a positive, because you never want to see players injured. Traore is probably out for Sunday for Shakhtar.
He's out for a while.
Yeah. Nasty injury, but
I mean, the really annoying thing is for me that we can't just, you know, teach some of these crap first starting 11 players a lesson, just, you know, let a few under 19 take their place. We can't even do that because it's Shakhtar and they're not ready for that level just yet. I mean, but if we had say Ruch, I would have just said, you know what, all of you that just completely embarrass yourself, piss off to the bench. Let some of the guys that, you know, actually showed glory to the club, Dynamo Kyiv, against the Bayern Munich under 19s. They know what it's like. They know what it's about to play for this club. Not lose 5-0 without putting up any kind of fight.
No,
against Shakhtar. Well, I think our hands are tied.
Going to the game Sunday, I think we would love to see players like Brashko, Voloshin. Oh, by the way, shout out to Vikenty Voloshin. He's been amongst the goals that Desna scored against Warsaw, scored against Metalis Kharkiv, not 25. Yaroslavsky, Eric's buddies, Metalist Yaroslavsky, in the cup. So hopefully that's a player I think I would not be surprised if we see him at Dynamo over the winter period and then maybe going back on loan to Desna. But definitely, I think you'll see more of Vikenty Voloshin at Dynamo over the summer, hopefully. But going back to what I was saying, I don't think expect to see Samba, Diallo, Nazari, Voloshin, or Brashko, Tarenko, Pop.
But I want them on the bench. I don't want all these same crap players here, all this absolute trash that comes off the bench, and that's absolutely, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I know, why not give them, if it's not working out, why not? Because they can't be any worse. If we see any more substitutions like Shaparenko for Shepinev and Timchuk for Kendra, oh my God.
The Timchuk one I can kind of half understand because he was on the yellow, probably doesn't want him suspended for the Barcelona games, which is probably Dynamo's biggest games going into the rest of the Champions League. But I mean, surely wholesale changes for the game. If we're going to do our preferred starting lineup for the Shakhtar game, goalkeeper has to be Neschera, in my opinion.
I think it's tricky. It's tricky because
listen, our preferred. If you're a coach right now, you have to pick in.
Do you know what
to play?
Yeah, I'd go. Do you know what? What the hell? Go in the Sharia because Bouchan's done nothing this season. Nothing special that I don't expect him to do.
Bouchan's in that category of player who I would try to cash in on. By the way,
yeah, I think it's. I'd honestly cash in, to be honest.
Eric, any issues with Neschera in goal?
Mm-hmm.
Right back, I would go Timchik.
Timchik, and that's it. Timchik, period. I'm not saying he's miles better, but Kinziora got absolutely burned against Bayern. He got absolutely burned against Shakhtar's wingers. Yeah, well, and I mean, it'll
burned by everyone, doesn't it?
It'll happen again. So yeah, I mean,
it's insanity. It's like the saying, you know, insanity is, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know, like if Kinziora gets destroyed by the same players like a few times already. It's going to happen again, isn't it? There's no point in playing him again because it's just going to be the exact same thing.
So what I would go, Timchik at right back. I actually didn't think Shabanov and Zabarni weren't the worst.
It wasn't terrible.
I just thought they were on emergency defender mode for the whole game and pretty much defending three or four or five players on their own at times.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'd go for those two at the back.
I mean, we did nothing but defend, pretty much. So,
I don't know if I'd call what some of our players did defending, Dima. I think that's
well. Okay, yeah. Well, I wouldn't really call it defending either, but we were trying to defend.
Shabanov and Zabarni defended. Some of the other ones, I don't know what they were trying to do. Left back. I don't want to go Mykolenko left back. I really don't.
But the problem is,
who else do you do?
Who?
You gotta go with Mykolenko.
You've got to, yeah. Did he even play left back?
He could do a job there even now.
Probably.
Defensive midfield.
Shaparenko, Sidorchuk.
Don't love that. We have to. Yeah. Attacking midfield.
Is Bujanski going to be back?
I don't know.
I think it was just a precaution.
I would not be surprised if they specifically just kept him on the sideline just for the game coming up.
If they kept him on the sideline for Shakhtar,
No, they kept him on the sideline for Bayern.
I'm good with that.
So would you go back to the usual three in the midfield?
Yeah,
Bujarski, Shaparenko, and Sidorchuk.
And I just want to say, you know, if they're not gonna perform, then for the next game out you go.
Yeah. Who do we play after Shakhtar, by the way? I'm checking right now.
Do we play Barcelona or is there a match before Barcelona?
We have Lviv.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think we could make some
against Lviv. If these men don't turn up against Shakhtar, then dump a lot of them and play play the under 19s, some of the under 19s, because sort of that would be just a joke at that point.
Wingers, I think wingers honestly is probably the biggest talking point.
Why not just play Vitinho?
I would say,
like, did we buy him for? Did we buy him just to, you know, bring off the bench for about 15 minutes against Rouge? Is that what we bought him for?
I would go Vitinho and Lenev.
Same.
Eric?
At this point.
I guess.
Vitinho
or Verbić.
I wouldn't mind if it's two of Karavaev or Lenev on the right and Verbić. Or
yeah, I think Karavaev would do a good job, to be honest.
In a game like
against Shakhtar, I think Karavaev is a better bet than Lednev, but I wouldn't be against Lednev.
Yeah, I would not be against any of that, one of those combinations, Vitinho or Verbić on the left and Karavaev or Lednev on the right.
Well, I'm assuming that their keeper is probably going to be Pjatov.
Yeah, just got to spam long shots.
I wouldn't mind Lednev running at the defense.
Well, Pjatov,
giving him a little bit more freedom.
You don't know what Pjatov you're going to get. Either.
Well, he had a good save against Inter, so he's probably due for a howler against us.
Well, just because of that, he's Ukraine's best goalkeeper.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. Correct. Two saves, and he is arguably Ukraine's best keeper.
Yeah. Don't forget, he almost got a pre-assist on one of Inter's goals. One of the goals Inter should have scored.
Apparently people didn't watch the match against Sheriff, where he pretty much bobbled every shot that came his way.
Yeah. And striker, I mean, I don't want to see God. I swear, how can Dennis Godmarsh be offside so many damn times?
How long is it until Ramirez can be back from... Because I know he had COVID. How long has it been? It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, but he's still suffering with it, I think. Let me see if I can find it, if he's out. Honestly, I would...
I might even go with Supriaha. Honestly,
yeah, I was going to say that. Just because he played... I thought he actually played pretty well against Shakhtar.
He played decently in the Super Cup. Yeah,
I think so,
Bit unlucky with that shot off the post.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not going to give him two... Same goes for Karavaev as well. Coming on with 15 minutes to go when you're down 4-0 to Bayern. I mean, that's like... That kind of is not the best. That's not the best time to be coming on, I think. So yeah, I would just go Supriaga up top. And yeah, it says his return is unknown back into the team, Ramirez. So let's see if we can go over this team again. Goalkeeper Nesteret, back four Timchik, Zabarni, Shabanov, and Mikolenko, midfield three of Sidorchuk, Bujalski, and Shaparenko, front three of, let's just say, Karavaev, Verbić, and Supriaga. I think that's more realistic than Lenev or Vitinho starting.
Why Verbić starting? What's he really done to get to United?
I don't start. I don't know. I really don't think this team is that controversial. You're really only changing two players. You're just changing wingers. And maybe the striker you could argue, but like, I think the team needs a big response going to the international break, because I think the international break is coming at a pretty good time, but we need some kind of pickup in performance, because what we've seen the last couple of weeks has not been good.
Not good enough. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to get into the talk of like the UPL, but like the league's only going to get better, you know, if you look at the certain teams in league below, and if we're going to struggle to beat Rukh and Minai, well, you shouldn't be expecting much in the Champions League. So I don't know, do you guys have any last thoughts before we wrap it up here?
Nothing from me.
Eric?
No, I mean, I don't know. I remember just hearing
nothing. I have nothing positive or good to say. That's for sure.
You know who should give the pre-match. Yeah. You know who should give the pre-match press conference on Sunday. Yeah. Not press conference, but like pre-match talk to the team. Milia, I think he should honestly give the pre-match team talk.
Any of them?
I think that like someone who could really get into the team, because they the boys need to waken up and. I don't know what to say. On that note,
what exactly did he say? Like, who the hell plays for Dinamo?
Yeah, because so Bujalski was the first one I think he saw, and he asked him, like, hey, like, what the hell was that? And then, like, yeah. two other guys came down, and I think he said, like, I don't even know who those guys are, or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's spot on. I mean,
yeah,
he's spot on.
Who the hell is someone?
Could he do much worse of a job running this club than Sürkis?
Hard to imagine much worse than Sürkis, to be honest
with you. Yeah. I know we could do a much better job.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm not. Well, I just won my second Champions League within that one from a manager today.
So. There you go. Steps in the right direction.
Clearly.
So on that note, that'll wrap it up. Dima, if someone wants to get into contact with you, how can they do that?
1927 Dima. Follow my out of contact Dima Makiev page as always.
And then Eric, if someone wants to get into contact with you, how can they do that?
At Lebovic, Lebovich.
Don't forget the underscore S at the end of that, Eric.
Yeah.
And if you want to follow me, your host, you can find me on Twitter at Lyshyk7. That's LYSCYK, then the number 7. If you want to contact the show, you could send us an email to dynamobroadpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a DM on Twitter. You can find us there at dynamobroad. Well, from everyone here at dynamobroad, that's all we have for you this week. Thanks for listening in, and we will see you next time. Dynamo, Dynamo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.